Today's up. Member, if you remember last year, we spent quite a bit of time on the end of this year. We saw that there was a debate regarding when the Asham, this is again the case was in Gezel HaGer, someone stole from a Ger, and then he swore that he didn't have in his possession, and then he basically admits to it. We're assuming he admits to it, and then what he has to do is, and the Ger dies. Right, so then what he has to do, he has to give the money, the Keren and Chumash, to the Kohanim and offer a Korban Hashem to the Beis HaMikdash. And we said there was kind of a debate, is what happens if the Kesef and the Hashem weren't given in order, because the money has to be given first and then the Hashem, and it was given to two different Mishmarot. There was a debate with Chachamim, Rabbi Yehuda, where does the money go to the Korban or the Korban go to the money? That's the way we discussed it. And we saw last year that Rabbi Chizki says the Machloket's only b'shtei Shabbatot, meaning it was given on one Shabbos and the other Shabbos. So Yehoyada was given the Asham, and the Kesef was given. Sorry, Yehoyada. So Yehoyarib was given the so Asham. Let's get this right. And the Yedaya, which is the second Shabbos, got the money, because that's when you got a whole debate of where the money goes. Who do we apply the Knas to? Because the acceptance is acceptance as long as it's on their Shabbos, as we said. However, if it was on the wrong Shabbos, we said forget it. Whoever's Shabbos it's meant to be, that's where it should go. However, we saw that according to Rabbi Yossi, says the machloket's actually b'shabbat achar, meaning it was given to two different mishmarot, but one of them wasn't the right mishmar. It's still you have that debate. So now the Gemara says, "Umanda amar b'shabbat achad plegi natan rakesu liyorei v'mishmar yadaya or asham yadaya liyadaya b'mish." Sorry, yeah. So again, start again. Because we said that Netina, even if it's given to the wrong Mishmar, meaning Mishmar not the wicked, it is considered a Netina. Now, you've probably got a Vechule here. Those basically the quotes that we said above with the Shida of Rebbe, that the whole din that if the Hashem is offered before the Kesef, then it doesn't work. Okay, put that aside. Now, Zoto Meret, Anshei Mishmar Shezachu B'Korban, we see from here that if the Anshei Mishmar take the Korban Shelo the Shabbat Tan, meaning it was given to them that when it wasn't the Shabbos, added the word Shelo here, then we see quite clearly fitting in Marafulda once again, he explains that's Girsa, Ein Motzin Tehme Adam, meaning it's considered a Kabbalah. So that's again a fundamental debate that really is underpins this discussion between Chizkin Rabbi Yossi. If it's given to a Mishmar that's not the Shabbos, is it considered a Netina at all? Or is it considered like, no, it's not? Okay, that is the debate. Okay, the Gemara says, "V'imi ber mishmar b'nei Yehoyariv," which is an interesting statement here because that's the continuation of the Braita. So the Marafulda says, "V'asiyum masik," at the end of that statement, it says, "Shiachzor leYoyariv kesef," that the money should go back to, if you like, Yehoyariv. Okay, which is very much like, sounds like Shira Yehuda, that the money follows the Korban. Ela shifsik, nonetheless, shifsik. Because I want to explain now what the lashon of iber means. The kamar v'hainu kene maniti. That's why it explains kene maniti is trying to explain it. Kenu peresh imiber, which is hainu she'avar shabbat shel yariv v'shabbat shel yoyada, meaning it passed the Shabbos of yariv and yoyadaya, and it's come all the way back around again. Min lachar yamim, so kene maniti imiber lachar yamim. So zachu, the Gemara says zachu bnei yoyariv et hasham. They now get to do, they've already zochet they took it. Well, they can't offer it yet. So the money has to go from, if you like, Yoriv, because they can't offer it without the money. So the money goes back, if you like, to Yehoyariv. Etz b'nei Yehoyariv. Ve'akrivu b'nei, here the Gersa changes, really should be Yehoyariv. Etz Hashem, they offer v'chaper lahem. So I'll just explain it now, really, if like according to Marfulda. He says, "Lachaim gam ken mishma yadaya," meaning it's past that, and lahad has gone the cycles all around again. But tamra for zehu ilvin, the reason why is because yadaya were, if you like, lazy, they didn't offer it. This is again talking about yadaya, and we said that's atya k'Reb Yehuda, and that really follows shitat who shit Reb Yehuda, which is at the, like the Rebbe, which you saw up above. You remember Remi Amar Kediv Rebbe Yehuda, like we saw at the end of the previous Amud, sorry, previous Shir, sorry. It says, Im Kedivrei Rebbe Yehuda, and so that if I'll read it, what he's saying, Vechulei, meaning if Rebbe Yehuda, Im Ikrivu B'nei Yehoriv Et Hasham, Non Nikaper, and they can't offer it. So therefore, Eli Olich V'Kes have to follow, Mi B'nei Yehoda, Eli Yehoriv, Yakrivu B'nei Yehoda Et Hasham, and then they have Yichaper La'lo. That's what we said then. Fachin Amita Babavli.
Aval, nonetheless, it seems Lerabanan af kan yachzor Hashem. Nonetheless, we still say yachzor Hashem etzel hakesef. The Hashem should still follow the kesef, mean to go to Yoyada, to shelok adin asu, and that's how he explains this piece of the Gemara. So I'll just continue according to the understanding. Now Rashi explains it quite differently according to Kilas Yaakov, but I'll just explain it. I'll tell you what it says outside in a moment. Let's just read the Gemara. That's why it says zoto merit. You see, ancha misha zechal korban. The Shabbatan at the nit'atzel they seem to blame lo ekrivu motzino te me'adan. Now I think the way to explain that line really is according to the way Marfold is explaining it. Since they were nit'atzel, meaning he got to Yoyada and the korban wasn't offered, we go all the way back around to the beginning again, and now the money would be taken from Yoyada. Even though we're talking about a korban, talking about money here, would go back to Yoyada, and effectively they're the ones that offer it. Okay, that's the flaw of the Gemara thing called the Marfold. It's interesting. The article explains it slightly quite differently. But I think we'll just stick to, go with this reading of the Mara folder for the moment. Okay, let's continue. This is now without we say Hadaralach Perak HaGozeleitzim, Hadaralach Perak HaGozeleitzim, Hadaralach Perak HaGozeleitzim. Okay, HaGozele Machil Banab. Let's say someone steals, and then he feeds it to his son. Umaniach Lifnehem. Interesting, Maniach Lifnehem. What you do with that? Or Vihiniach Lifnehem is the Gerson in the Mishnayos. Says, Imaya davar shesh, in other words, we say Pturim Mishalem, the children don't have to pay back when if the father, say, passed away. We have to explain why this is. Imaya davar shibori, if it's a davar shesh po archayud, again, what normally davar shesh po means karka. We'll explain what that means as well. Nechna, it says, then they do, the children do have to pay back the fact that the father stole. Okay, we have to explain how this works. Now, next thing is ein protein lo mitevat hamuchsim. So here we're talking about is let's say you've got money, you want change. You shouldn't go from the muchsim are the muchas is a tax collector. A gabai is also a type of tax collector for the government. Now, unfortunately, it wasn't always straightforward and yashar, these type of tax collections, and there was a chazaka that a lot of the money there was actually considered stolen money. Okay, so unjustly taken. So therefore, you shouldn't change your money with these individuals because you'll basically be exchanging it for stolen money. So avoid it from them. However, mitoch beito min hashuk. However, you can exchange, meaning from the muchas himself, if he has his own money in his own house, you can go. If he's your neighbor, you can change it. However, but or min hashuk, or if he has money in the marketplace that's not coming from the tevat, from the chest of tax collections. Okay. Now the Gemara says, HaGozel ma'achil panav. Gemara says, let's say in Israel lent people money with interest. It's asked to do so. And he wanted to do tshuva, and he did tshuva, sa tshuva. We say, chayiv la'achzir. He has to return it to do full tshuva, the interest he collected. Next, met, if the person died, v'niach lifnei banav, and he left that money in front of his children, la'va katuv omer, yachin v'tzadik ilbash, v'kesef, Naki yachalok, which is a pasuk that says that a rasha might prepare and something for clothing, and the tzaddik will end up wearing it. Kesef or money, and somebody else, the naki, the person who's clean-handed, will clean hands, and if you like, will end up dividing it. Fine. The Gemara says, so it sounds like from simple understanding of this Gemara that the children can end up keeping it. However, hiniach lifnehem para or talit. If, however, they leave, he left them the actual object para or talit, then chayv la'achzir etzel. I'll just show you here the Marafuldi says the if there were certain particular items, then Chayv Lachzir, he has to return it, meaning because of the kavod of the father. Because at the end of the day, he did tshuva and he put aside the item to return to this individual. And therefore, you should, and despite the fact he didn't have the chance to do it, nonetheless, they should return it. So, in a nutshell, just to explain once again, if the father charged with interest in tshuva, really what should it be? Should be returning it. If he died, then the children can still enjoy from the state. They're not responsible for returning it. However, if he set aside something specific to return, it sounds like, then the children should nonetheless continue in ex the execution of what the father was trying to do. Okay? Because if for kavod avihem, the father wanted to do tshuva, he didn't have the chance to do it, nonetheless, they should go through with it. Okay. It's interesting here that the next few words it says, Azal Tanaya le Gzilaya. So Azal Tanaya le Gzilaya is there's different explanations. According to the second explanation of the Marafolda, what that means is even though we discussed this osug was talking about someone charged with interest who wanted to tshuva, it can also apply very equally for the case of gezel as well. Fine, meaning so if a person stole something. So how does it relate to someone who stole something? Well, let's have a look at the we have, that would fold us back to our Mishnah. Because in our Mishnah, we says that in the case of Hagozel, Machala, then we say if it's Nechasim Chayiv L'Shalem. So what's this Nechasim? Sorry, it's a Nechas. Sorry, Devar Shesh Bahem Achrayim Nechasim. What are those? What does that mean that those things have to be returned? The first understanding is Ezu Devar Shesh Bachariot. Rabbi Yochanan says. So again, Gemara says Im Ayad Devar Shesh Bachariot Chayiv Lachzir. So Ezu Devar Shesh Bachariot. Rabbi Yochanan says Beaniach Lifenem Karaka, where he left them land. In other words, it seems to be the simple understanding then, according to Rabbi Yochanan, is as the when did the Yorishim have to pay back this gezel when there was land? In other words, it's almost like the whole estate, well, not the estate, the land was meshubad to the paying back of the stolen item. That's when they have to pay. But if there wasn't any land, well, the Yorishim aren't responsible. Other understanding, Rish Lakish says no. It says Rish Lakish omer b'sheniach lefnim guf hagzeila. It's when this particular stolen item was actually still there in his possession. That's when you return it. Okay, but if it was an echal or if it was sold or whatever it is, and there's money generated from it, then the Yorishim don't have to, they're not responsible for paying that back. Okay, that is a machlok between Yonatan and Reish Lakish. Now, two statements here. This is a bit tricky here, but Rav and Shmuel have two different statements. Rav says the first one is Yoresh k'meshu'abad, meaning collecting from the Yorishim is like collecting from Nechasim Meshubadim, which means Govam kach ein govam. So what is Nechasim Meshuvadim? Is generally land. So when someone takes a does a loan, that's a contractual loan, we say that any land that was in his possession at that time of the loan, there's a lien on all that property such that even if he sells that land and cannot pay back the debt, well, the creditor can come and seize that land even though it was sold. That's Meshubad. So what we're saying here is the Yorish has that same status of Nechasim Meshubadim, so the property that he inherits. Meaning just in the case of a Malveh Be'edim, if it wasn't a contractual loan, it was a Malveh Bar Peh with witnesses, such a loan cannot be collected from Nechasim Meshubadim. Okay? It's only a contractual loan that was drawn up. That's the type of land that can be collected from Nechasim Meshubadim. So in that situation, so just as when it comes to a verbal loan that was by Edim, you cannot collect from Yorshim, you cannot collect from Yorshim. That's statement number one. Shmuel says a different case. He says, had ikni gova. Now this is a bit of a tricky one to understand, but the I'll read the Marafulda, he explains here. He says, the ikni perosho shekatav lo kol mashi. Yeah, meshubad. So what's the ikni? Ikni is a funny lashon. So again, we explain the Marafulda, but he says ikni perishes. He writes that shekadav lo kol mashi yikneh, anything that I buy going forward will be meshubad to this say loan. Okay. V'acharkach, what did he do? He ended up did buying more land and sold that land, or it was or yarash. Okay. So we say eino gova menechasim shekana achar alove, meaning that halva'ah. Sorry, that. That land that he ended up selling, or yara, that he sold, in other words, he purchased and sold, or purchased and was yoresh to yorashav, that he cannot collect from that land. Enu gova, if you like, nechasim shekana. So explain this case. That's like it's a little bit tricky. Again, we just said that normally there's a lien on all land from the time of the loan. What if the person stipulated, you know what, I'm going to let you have a lien on all my land, part of this contract, on also any future land I purchase as well. He wanted to give the extra rights to try and get this loan. Okay, well, that would work. Provided that, what Shmuel is saying, that land wasn't sold or wasn't inherited. Okay, future land. Okay, that's what we're talking about. Fine. That's statement of Rav, statement of Shmuel. Rav says, Yorshim are like, just as Yorshim is like, Yorshim is Meshu'ubad, so Malveh Be'edim can't collect from Yorshim. Shmuel says this whole stipulation about even trying to put a lien on future land purchases is only if it's still in his possession. Fine. Now the Gemara says, what we've learned in our Mishnah seems to be a kasha on both the Shittot.
Gemara says, "Valeti pliga al Rav." Doesn't that Mishnah seem to be a kasha on Rav? Why? Do Rav amar yoresh kirim shu'ubad k'shem she'in malva ba'edim govam mim shu'ubadim kach eino govam yoreshim. So our Mishnah says that if it was a vashesh barachot, we said that they chayv l'shalem, nachon? That the yoreshim, it was the vashesh barachot, however you're trying to understand it, that they can collect, that the nigzal can collect from the estate. But the assumption here is a gezela is not a contractual loan. It's like a loan that's ba'edim. And if that's the case, this seems to be cholak on Rav, because Rav says if it's a loan ba'edim, you can't collect it from the Yorshim, whereas our Mishnah seems to suggest that a gezela, which we're saying is on equal footing to a verbal loan, you can collect from the Yorshim. That's the kasha. So the Gemara says, Pata b'shinech lefenem karka. So the answer is no. According to Mar Fulda, he says, that means you can collect it from karka. To explain, it seems to be the havamina that Rav was saying implied also to collecting from land that the Yorish that received. Now we're correcting that. We're saying no. If it's land that the Yorishim got, even a mouth of a pair or even a gazelle, you can connect from the estate. What was he talking about? He was probably talking about metalflin or something like that. Okay? That's what Rav was referring to. That you can't collect a verbal contract contact from land, so to, sorry, verbal contract. So a Yorishim can mishubad, just as it couldn't collect, say, from metalflin, so too it cannot take from the Yorishim. Okay. That's a realignment and understanding of the Havamina of Rav was corrected. That's going to this. The other Mepharshim have a kasha on this and have different ways of reading the sugya, but it will change a lot around. Because the Rebbe actually reorganizes the whole sugya, but it'll be a bit too confusing for that purpose in this year. Let's continue. Marna says, okay, let's go back to Shmuel. Afilu k'shmuel leitu pligya. Again, what did Shmuel say? Shmuel said, if someone makes a loan, and he says, I'm also going to include in this your power, authority to even take from future land purchased. That it would include that land, provided that it wasn't sold or wasn't inherited. Okay. Now the Gemara says, well, pligi lo kena mashmo v'ikni einu gova mimashubadim. So it says that which is ikni einu gova mimashubadim, meaning land that was sold after. So just to read the mafuldi, it says, v'yorshu mashubim din echad lehem. But when it comes to Yorshin, Umashuvin, it seems to doesn't differentiate. Vekim in the ikne enu mushubad. Hachinami enu govam in a Yorshin. And it seems to be that that's a case of, in other words, mushubad and Yorshin are the same din. And when the Yorish ends up being inherits it, it's like the case of being ikne, as we said. So future lands that were purchased, the case of a Yoresh would be like it was sold on, or it was inherited. So according to that, Shmuel, he doesn't have a right to collect from that land. So according to this understanding, any land then that was purchased after the time of the Gzela, this is a bit like what we're saying, where Shmuel says this is land that was purchased after the time of the loan. The Nigzal shouldn't be able to collect it from the Yorshim from it. Should be able to collect it. But our mission doesn't make that distinction. It just says, Im yesh davar sheyesh bo ro'eh nechasim, chayv l'shalem. It doesn't say, oh, provided it was purchased before the gzela, but not after. It doesn't make that distinction at all. Okay? So that's why it's a kashon Shmuel. So we say, no, pata la b'shinech lem gufa gzela. So again, just as we explained, this terminology, im haya davar sheyesh bo ro'eh nechasim, chayv l'shalem, there were two ways to explain it. And if he would, therefore, Shmuel, therefore, explain it like Rik Shlashkish, that it doesn't mean land, it's referring to the Gufa Gzela. When do the Yorushim have to, compensate, if you like, return to the Nigzal for what their father did? That's when the original item that was stolen is still in their possession. And therefore, not a kasha on Shmuel. Okay, clear, good. Let's continue. Gazal Talib and Alacher. Let's say someone stole a garment of some sort, and we saw this, by the way, in Masechta Trumot a long time ago, and gives it over to somebody else. Rabbi Lala says, "B'shem Reb Chia motzim mirarishno v'lo min hasheni." The simple understanding here, Reb Chia, is the owner of the garment, who is his legal claim towards, would be towards the, according to the person who stole from him. He says, "You owe me." Importantly, Rav Chaim, we learned here, it must be we're talking about when the item that was stolen is no longer around anymore. So it's if it was consumed or it was something happened to it. And therefore, the person wants his financial compensation. So who's his din with? It's with the person who stole it, not the person who received it after that. And because the idea is, the understanding is that the second person not considered like the Gazlan, is not considered like he's a separate party altogether. My only din is with the first person. Okay. Rabbi Yochanan, however, Rabbi Yochanan says, said name of Rabbi Yanai, Motzi'in af min hasheni. So no, the owner can either go to the person who stole or the person who received it after, person number one or number two in the chain. Meaning that, I'll just remember, Reb Chaim says this, he says, the whole time with the Baal weren't Miyayish, it's still considered theirs. And the fact that it's now in that possession of person number two, and that person, Ibdo, ended up, was not in his possession anymore. We explained he ended up burning it or consuming or destroying it. He adds a din of a gazlan. Okay? So therefore, he can effectively speak, deal directly with person number two. Okay? So, af min hasheni or min harishon. So just explaining again outside to make it a bit more clear than I already did, or than I did or tried to do, that again, according to Reb Chiya says the din's only with the Rishon because he was the one who stole it. The fact it came to somebody else's possession and he ended up consuming or doing something with it doesn't matter. He's not considered a gazlan at all. He's an innocent person in this picture. He just received it and that's it. So the din's only the Rishon. However, according to it seems to what Rabbi Yanai says, or Rabbi Yochanan said the name of Rabbi Yanai, he says no. There was no Yush. The owner never gave up hope. So therefore, it's still considered his. So the fact that someone committed the crime to steal it, but it was handed over to somebody else. Now that person might not know necessarily that it belonged to the original owner, but it's still considered the property of the other owner. So the fact that he ends up, if you like, eating it or whatever it was, if he ends up destroying it, well, there's a direct claim that the owner has to this person number two. You destroyed my property. It's still considered my property. Okay, because there's no use. That's effectively the debate. However, Bama Mama says that's not the debate. Avreb Chia Kedaita to the Reb Chia, in other words, it's Kedate. So even Reb Chia is like the Chita Reb Yanai, meaning he also has a claim against the Sheni. The Reb Chia Ma Motzi Af Min Hasheni. So just to explain what this means is that we thought it was a debate between Reb Chia and Reb Yanai. What the Gemara is saying, no, there's no debate whatsoever. When Reb Chia says Motzi Marishon Avlo Min Hasheni, he doesn't mean, this is what Reb Chaim explained in Trumot, he doesn't mean that you could only take from the Rishon. It's just the Sheni can say to the Balabait, the person who owned the Balabait, the person who owned this item, why are you dealing with me? Go deal with him first. Go deal with the person who stole it. In other words, he has a way of pushing him off and saying there's a preference, you deal with him first. However, if the person who was stolen from can't access this first person, has no way of retrieving this fund from this person, whatever happened with this person, then a father you can come and take from the Sheni. So, in other words, Af Min Hasheni agrees Af Min Hasheni, but all Reb Chiya was trying to stress when he said Motzin Rishon Min Hasheni means the preference is to take it from the Rishon. But he can still carry it from the Sheni, and at the end of the day, there's no debate. Okay, Pesach. Kol Tov. Have a good Shabbos.